That we're continuing to talk about prayer. We've been in Luke in chapter number 16 and discussing prayer. And if you remember, we looked at about 3 weeks ago that men ought always to pray, and that our prayer is connected to our faith. If I don't have a continuous prayer life, if I'm not continually going to the Lord, if I just give up on things after I've just prayed for them a few times and I just kind of forget about them because God didn't move in my timing, that's because I have a lack of faith. And if I'm a person of faith, I'm going to continually be going to the Lord. And knowing that God can move, God can work. God's not obligated to move in my time. God's not obligated to move just because I tell Him to or ask Him to. But by faith, I'm going to continually go to Him. And we also saw in Luke 18 that we must that when we pray, we must be trusting in the right person. We must be trusting in Him. We don't go to the Lord trusting in ourselves. We don't pray with ourselves that we have the answer within ourselves. No, we go to God because God has the answer. And we go to God in humility. We don't go to God exalting ourselves, but humbling ourselves before God. And tonight I want to look, and we're going to end up in James in chapter number 5. But I want to look at the prayers of a righteous man. The prayers of a righteous man. I want us to notice, first of all, in 1 Kings in chapter number 16, there was a dark day in the land of Israel, and it's the day Ahab came to rule over Israel. It starts in verse 29 of 1 Kings in chapter 16. It says, "And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab to reign of Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab, son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who took took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." Then look at verse number 1. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence." And we know the rest of the story. He went down to the brook Cherith, and he was there at the brook Cherith. And as he was there, the ravens came and fed him. He drank of the brook, and the basic understanding, God provided for him there. And the nation of Israel was going to go through a time of great drought, and 3.5 years of drought. And we understand the other story where God led Elijah away from the brook Cherith, and he sent him down to the widow of Zarephath's house. And when he got into the widow of Zarephath's house, she had a little meal and a cruse of oil, and he said, "Listen, go make me a cake." And her plan was, "We're going to make this last cake, this crummy little cake of meal and oil, and then we're both going to die, me and my son." That was her plan. And Elijah just said, "Hey, before you go off dying on me, you make me a cake first, and take care of me, and then God will and before you go off and die." And so she goes and she makes him a cake and brings it unto him, and the meal and the oil were stayed until the time of the drought ended. So all the way through, we see that God had provided, God had taken care, God had met the needs. And if we know anything about Elijah, we can know this. Elijah was a man that heard from God, that talked to God. He would be known as one of the greatest prophets of the nation of Israel. He's one that's spoken of many times, even into the even into the last days of this world, when we talk about the time of tribulation, you're going to find that Elijah would be spoken of. And when Christ came on the scene, John the Baptist came on the scene, he came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. I mean, over and over, you'll talk about the power, the spirit, the presence of Elijah. It was something that was very mighty, very powerful. And so Elijah knew the word of the Lord. He was able to deliver the word of the Lord. He spake the word of the Lord. Elijah separated himself from the world and went counter the culture that was around him, to the point to where he felt that, you realize at times, where he was all alone. And I know the Lord came to him and said, no, you're not alone. There's 7,000. And you think, well, that's a good number, 7,000. If we had 7,000 here tonight, we'd think we had a good crowd. Amen. But you realize that's in the whole nation of Israel. He was very much a minority in the nation he was in, but it's good to know you're not alone. Amen. But Elijah was definitely one that went counter the culture of his day. He didn't go along with the worship of Baal. He didn't go along with everything that the king just said that they needed to do. No, Elijah obeyed God, and Elijah allowed God to provide for him over and over. We see that in his life. And Elijah wanted to see God glorified. That's who Elijah was interested in seeing lifted up. And that's who Elijah was interested in him seeing praised. If you go over to chapter number 18, here 3.5 years have passed, and there's a challenge on the top of Mount Carmel. And they're seeing if Baal can answer for heaven, and they get the opportunity, you remember, and they can set up their altar, and they sacrifice their bullock, and they cry from morning until midday, and their God didn't answer them at all, and didn't answer their prayers, and Elijah mocks them a little bit, I read one commentator today, he said they cried him from morning until midday, you know, to Baal, all right? And their God had bailed. Anyway, if you didn't get that tonight, you can catch it later. But their God had bailed on him. He wasn't answering. He was. I mean, that's what he says. Is he on a vacation? Is he on a trip? You know, where is he at? And so they don't hear from it all. And then we get to verse number 36, and it says, and it came to pass as the time of the offering at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. So this would have been about 6 o'clock in the evening. I mean, they'd started in the morning. They'd cried unto their gods all day. They cut themselves with lancets, the Bible said. I mean, they're offering themselves up at a sacrifice, and they didn't hear from God because their God wasn't real. And it says that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things, look at this, at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And Elisha said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And so here we see this this great story and prayer there after they prayed to their God all day long, and he just has this 35 word prayer that he gives here at the end of the day, and guess who showed up? God showed up. And you stop and we can think, man, how amazing that is, that God showed up and worked in such a mighty way in the life of Elijah. And I want us to go over to James and chapter number 5. In James, in chapter number 5, you say, why is it that God worked so mightily in Elijah's life? And why is it that Elijah was such a great prophet and saw God do amazing things? Well, look with me, if you will, in verse number 16. And we quote the latter part of verse number 16, and it's that I really want us to cue in on, because Elijah here is used as the example of what it's talking about. In James chapter 5 and verse number 16, it says, confess your faults one to another. And I know none of us ever have any, so that's hard for us. But we're to confess our faults one to another and pray one for another. So guess what? This thing we do on Wednesday night where we come and say, hey, listen, I've got this need and I have that need. And I know some people just think that's old, kind of old-fashioned, and that's just kind of boring, and that's not very entertaining. I'll tell you, it's pretty biblical. And that's what we should be concerned with, that we're to confess our faults one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. Now, look at the latter part of the verse. It says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we stop and we'll use that phrase over and over, and we'll talk about how it's important to pray, and that if we'll pray and we'll seek the Lord, then we can see much God move. But there's a couple qualifications there. And number one, you have to pray. And number two, you need to live a righteous life. You need to live a righteous life. Go to verse number 17 and 18. Elias, or Elijah, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah, listen to me, Elijah lived in a time where the culture that was all around him was not living for God. That's the culture Elijah was in. The rulers of his nation were not desirous to follow after God. They were not desirous to glorify God. In fact, the things that they wanted to glorify would have been anti-God. They would have been anything but God. And listen to me, we live in that day and time and that culture as well, don't we? Where the things that are being promoted as being right, and the things that the people who want to be the leaders of our nation are getting excited about are things that we would stop and go, wait, this would not be of God at all. Listen to the Democratic people, the Democrats that are trying to run for the office of president, and the big hot topics are abortion. I read a thing today that said, because they talk about having safe abortions. You realize there is not such a thing as a safe abortion, because someone always dies at the end. It always ends in death. There is no such thing as a safe abortion, but that's a big topic, and the rights of the LGBTQ community and all these things. These are the platforms upon which they are running. Are all these things that we stop and go, wait a second, these are anti the Word of God. These would not be the ways of of God. And Elijah was in a time where the king and the majority of his nation were saying, listen, we need to worship Baal. We need to follow after Baal instead of after God. So he was a man of like passions as we are. There were times of drought in his life. Time after time, Elijah had to trust God. Are you with me? There were points where Elijah had to make some difficult decisions. All right, God said, go down to the brook Cherith, and there's this widow woman. Well, okay, I mean, I guess I'll trust God. I guess I'll go. Listen, there were times in Elijah's life, and we didn't read them tonight, but if you study the story of Elijah, there were times when he got discouraged. There were times when he thought nobody else cared. There were times when he just didn't understand what God was doing. There were times when he hid himself off in a cave. I'm telling you, you can almost say he got a little depressed in his life. But listen to me. He always was able to get a hold of God, and God was always there, and God always moved. And I'm just trying to help you understand. You study the life of Elijah, you'll find out that he was a man of like passions, and he lived in a world that had difficulties and trials and troubles. But this is also what we read about Elijah. We don't read this in the book of 1 Kings, but James puts it here so we know just how is it that God spoke through Elijah, and how is it that God got a hold of Elijah, and how is it that God saw that Elijah saw God move in a mighty way. Look at this. He was a man of like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Well, why in the world would he do that? Because he saw the way the culture was going. because he was able to see the way the world was going. The world was going against God. And listen to me, Elijah being a righteous man wanted men to follow after God, and he himself wanted to follow after God. And so, the greatest way for God to be able to move is for God to show everybody else that he was in control. And I'll tell you this, we can come up with some different means in our day, but in their day, to go through a time of drought was a very dramatic thing. It was a very difficult thing, and it was a hard thing. And until for 3.5 years from the time Elijah comes on the scene in 1 Kings in chapter number 17 to where he was there on Mount Carmel, and if you know the story, after he came down from Mount Carmel, the Bible says it began to rain again. But understand with me, it was Elijah that got a hold of God, that was able to look around and see the way things are going. And then he was able to pray that God would stop the rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I want you to understand that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It availeth much. Prayer is not just me talking to God, but me having open communication with God. James says that Elijah prayed, and then but in 1 Kings, when he comes on the scene, Elijah had already prayed, and then when he comes on the scene, he's able to go, hey, listen what? Listen up. God said it's not going to rain. Elijah didn't show up and say, hey, listen, I prayed that it'd stop raining to show you guys who God is, so you'd understand that you're not in control, and that you'd understand that there is a God in heaven, and it's not the one you're worshiping, and it's not the one you're praying to. No, he showed up after he had fervently prayed and said, now, listen, God agrees with me, and it's not going to rain until God says so. God's going to tell me when it's going to rain again, and it's not going to happen until I say so. How do you know? Because he communicated with God. He talked to God, and guess what? God talked back to him. He talked to God, and God talked back to him. Just by definition, it's just very interesting. Effectual, fervent prayer. Effectual means producing an effect, or the effect desired or intended, or having adequate power of force to produce the effect. When something is effectual, it has the ability to produce what is desired, if you will. So when we talk about the effectual, fervent prayer, we're talking about prayer that actually has the ability to get something done. Prayer that can actually work. Prayer that actually is going to work. This prayer is that works and produces something. We could call this a powerful prayer life. When someone has an effectual, fervent prayer, it's a powerful prayer life. Fervent means hot or boiling. It means ardent. It means very warm, earnest, or excited. This is the kind of prayer, I mean, where it's not just, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul will take. No, there's some passion behind this prayer. It's something that's real to the one praying, and it's something that's real to God, and it's something that's meaningful, it's something that's impactful, it's something that's powerful. It's not just just let's quote the Lord's Prayer here real quick before we eat dinner, or before we go to sleep, or before we go on our trip. No. It's meaningful communication with God. Effectual, fervent prayer where there's work involved. Are you with me? Where there's effort from the part of the prayer, one who is praying, to go forth. Where there's a burden upon the one who is praying. There's a desire upon the one who is praying to see something change and to see something happen. And listen to me, we're kind of connecting the dots here with where we've been going in faith, where we pray and we continue to pray and we seek the face of God because we have faith that God can work. And then we go to God knowing that God, and trusting that God, God is the only one that can work, and that's called fervent, effectual prayer. And the Bible says it availeth much. This kind of prayer, this prayer that sees God, that sees God work, this prayer that is powerful and has the power of God behind it, it availeth much. It means to force, to have force, availeth, to be of strength, to assist or to profit, to bring to a successful issue. You realize with me, this is a prayer that is seeing God in for who He is. This is a prayer that's seeing God work. You realize with me, Elijah wasn't praying, Lord, I pray that you just bless me with houses and bless me with lands and bless me with this and bless me with that, and I want and I need. No. Elijah was looking at what mattered to God. And what mattered to God mattered to Elijah, and he was passionate about what mattered to God. And because he was passionate about what mattered to God, God was able to work through the life of Elijah, and the powerful prayer life of Elijah is put on display for us. The powerful communication that Elijah had was put on before us because Elijah was passionate about the things God was passionate about. And sadly, many times we think, well, then that can't be. I tell you what, I'm trying to hurry because of the time. Let me just say this. God's passionate about your home. He is. He's passionate about you and your wife having a right relationship. I'm telling you, God ordained the home. He's passionate about. He's passionate about your kids growing up and learning the truth and walking in truth and living righteous lives. And so we're not just talking about, well, now all I can pray about is the wickedness out here in this world. No, I'm telling you that we need to find out God's mind from His Word, what God's passionate about for your home. And maybe the relationships we have could be better if we realize, man, God intends, listen, I know this is something we all know, but husbands, God desires for you to love your wife. Wife, God wants you to reverence your husband. Children, He wants you to obey. And listen, if we get passionate about what God's called us to be passionate about, maybe we might see some things happen in our homes. If we get passionate about the opportunities that God's given us, and man, if we'd be passionate about, Lord, I know You've called me to be a witness. I know You want me to be a witness. I know You desire for me to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And listen, truly get fervently passionate and fervently moved toward the things God desires to be passionate about, the things that God wants us to be fervent about. I tell you, God can move. I understand with me. I believe God's interested in some. You say, well, these are some. Sometimes we pray for carnal things. I don't think that God's not interested in you being taken care of. God's interested in all your needs being met. Yes, He certainly is. He knows what you have need of before you ask Him. But listen to me, many times when we're talking to God about it, we don't really even go to God knowing what we have need of. And so therefore we go to God and tell Him what we think we have need of. Instead of fervently going, God, I need You to show me what I need. Lord, I need You to speak to me. I'm telling you, even some of the things, I'm not saying we can't have a life that ever talks to God about some of the, if you will, for lack of a better term, some of the carnal things of our life, because I think God's passionate about every need we have. Amen. But we got to get in His Word and find out, okay, what is it that I do have need of? What is it that I do have need of? So effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. When we're not seeing our prayer life work, we tend to not look at ourselves and go, okay, self, what is it that's between you and God? What is it that's causing God not to be able to answer your prayer, self? That's generally not the first question we ask, is it? The first question we ask is, God, I'm trying to do all these great things for You and You're just not coming through on Your end. And why aren't You blessing? And Lord, where are You at? Didn't say the guy that complains the most about his condition, that's the one who sees his prayer merit. It's the fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man that sees much done, that sees much availed. To be righteous is to be innocent. To be righteous is to be holy or just. It's applied, if you say someone's righteous, all right? It's applied to, we could say it's applied to those who are holy in heart. They desire to holy. That doesn't mean that they're perfect. Elijah wasn't perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But our desire, our heart's desire, and God knows our heart's desire, and it's a desire that in our heart we desire to be holy and right before God. One that is observant of the Word of God and is desirous to practice the Word of God in their life. That doesn't mean I'm always successful at it. I sometimes open my big fat mouth and prove it. But where's your heart's desire? Sometimes Elisha opened his big fat mouth and proved that he was a man. But listen, his heart's passion was that he'd be right with God. And that he'd be righteous. And that he'd see God glorified in the world that's around him. I want us to understand this, that through prayer, we can access the limitless power of God. We can access the limitless power of God. Elijah accessed the limitless power of God in his life. Elijah saw God meet his carnal needs. Elijah saw God provide. Elijah changed his nation. But listen to me, it was that he prayed, but also that he was a righteous man. The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. As we consider our prayer lives this evening, and I'll be done. As we consider our prayer lives this evening, how would we be able to stop and say, oh no, I pray, I talk to God all the time. Okay, but how often are we concerned with our heart's desire before God to be bent, if you will, towards righteousness? To be yielded to righteousness. That we would stop and say, Lord, in every area of my life, I want to change my heart and I want to turn it to be right with you. I want to turn it to be just walking in accordance to your word. I'm telling you what, that would definitely change our prayer life. But understand with me, when our prayer life is transformed, it's going to have an effect on those around us. That would be the context of chapter number 5. Of James, that portion of scripture where it talks about, hey, listen, confess your faults one to another. Well, look at the verse again. I'll be done. I'm trying to hurry. We were a little late. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Listen, Elijah saw his nation healed because he prayed and he lived a righteous life. And he saw a nation healed. Understand, in our church, we could see God move if we pray and we'll endeavor to live a righteous life. It's just really simple. But understand, one isn't more important than the other. One isn't mutually exclusive to the other. They honestly, if we're going to be effectual, if we're going to be fervent, they have to go together. They have to go together. And if you say, well, I just don't have that, I don't have that, you know, burning prayer life. Might you stop and go, okay, Lord, search me, know my heart, see if there be any wicked way in me. Where is it that I might be not walking in right step or right fellowship with you that would hinder my prayer life? You think that if you ask God that, he might be concerned about it? No. Lord, my home isn't going there. My relationship, my work, listen to me. The Lord knoweth all these things you have need of before you ask him. He probably knoweth what things you have need of spiritually as well that's hindering your prayer life from being able to avail much in this world. Yeah. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening.